I feel so good this morning. You may not understand what I mean, but what I'm getting ready to say, and I'm not going to take the time to explain the whole story, but today is officially my first day out of the ark.
Do you remember the story?
God told us.
Go back on Facebook, the New Life Facebook, and it's down there somewhere.
But God said that He was going to protect us in the ark until it was time for us to come out. And today is officially my day. The ark door opened, and I walked out. Amen. I was sitting there a minute ago, waiting for this point to come, and it actually ran through my mind. I feel like I've got fire shooting out of my eyes. I'm ready. Amen. This is a new year. It's a new year. New things. My message this morning, and I'm not going to tell y'all all about last year, because a lot of it you don't need to know. You just know that I went through it and I survived it. Amen. And just like I said in the bulletin, some people may have said, wonder where his faith was. They may have looked at me as a failure. Where's his faith? Why'd he let it happen to himself? But I tell you the truth. I look back and, yeah, if I saw my faith as a figure, he'd be bloody. He might have staggered a few times. And he might have some torn clothing. But he's still standing up. And he made it through. And I remember in 1980, some friends of mine in the ministry, they really had the lock on everything and had all the answers to all the questions and all the whys. And if you've got an answer to all the whys, you're not human. But I know some of you, a handful of you may remember, but that's when I ended up in the hospital with kidney failure. And my minister friends and acquaintances found out about it. They wrote me off. They said, if he'd had any faith, he wouldn't have been in the hospital. Some of them are dead now. Some of them are no longer in the ministry. But I'm still going. Have I done everything right? Absolutely not. Have you done everything right? Absolutely not. But you see, that's where grace comes in. That's where God rises up within us. He said, you know, we told Paul, he said, when you're weak, I'm strong. And that's the way we have to look at it. Don't ever turn loose of any of the promises of God. But it's like the song that Miriam and Laverne sung this morning. A couple of phrases in there where some people would say, well, he did promise you silver and gold. Okay, then where is it? Some of God's provisions come with some effort on our part. And everybody that I know that's a child of God doesn't have silver and gold. Can you have it? Absolutely. It's there for us. Can we walk in divine help? Absolutely. Thank God for the ones that do. Thank God for the ones that don't. Just for them, not for their situation. I thank God that I made it through last year. Did I have to go through it? Probably not. Maybe something could have been different. But that's when you've got all the whys and the hows figured out. And it seems like sometimes, you know, you're driving down the road, you didn't intend to hit the black ice. But it happened. So what do you do now? Give up or make it through? It's keeping God in perspective. And you see, my message this morning, I want to share with you, is called The Choice Is Yours. The choice is yours. Vern's going to read a scripture.
I'm going to read Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Hallelujah. I'm waiting for everybody to find the scripture. I hear those leaves rustling. It's a wonderful sound. I want to tell you real quickly while you're doing that. I decided a long time ago in this last year that I was not going to be a Job and sit back and get depressed and cry and whine and say, God, why is all this happening? But I was just going to praise God and see him through each day and make it through it. So, you know, we can have that, or we can praise God. Beginning with verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Amen. You know what that scripture is? It's the beginning. It's the beginning of the church. It's the beginning of the commission that God gave us. Now I want you to look at this for just a minute and think about this. If you noticed, how big was the crowd? It tells us there was 11. The 11 disciples went to where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, the most important thing that can happen to you in your life is for you to get a good view of Jesus. When you start looking at him instead of looking at the other stuff, things start changing in a perspective. But you know what? The choice is yours. You can sit around and look at the things, or you can sit around and look at Jesus. I'll tell you what, I didn't like the things that I saw last year in my life and the things that I had to endure in a day-after-day process. I did not like looking at them. The best choice was to look to Jesus. Was it easy? Not all the time. When somebody said, nothing that's worth it is easy. When they saw him, they worshiped him. They worshiped him. Doesn't say some worshiped him. It says they. Since there was only 11 of them, I assume that the whole 11 worshiped him. While they were worshiping him, we have a little secret here told by the writer Matthew. While they were worshiping him, some doubted. Some doubted. I think that in all of our lives, we made an effort or we made a choice that we're going to worship God. We choose we're going to worship God. And in the midst of our worshiping God, sometimes we have to deal with doubt. And what we have to do is come to terms with it. You know, you can be tempted to do anything, but you do not have to yield to the temptation. You can be tempted to worry. You can be tempted to fear. Fear may come to you in the night. doesn't mean it's got a place, that it's a legitimate thing, but it'll come. You don't have to ask for it. You don't have to ask, hey, Dad, I haven't seen you in a few days. Why don't you come around and try me a bit? You don't have to do that. But what you got to do is stand up against it. But here, they're worshiping him, but they're doubting. What are they doubting? I mean, here's Jesus. I see him. He's alive. I'm talking to him. What am I doing doubting? Many times what we doubt is ourselves. We acknowledge with our head that Jesus is Lord. We acknowledge with our head that God is God. He's the creator. He's the sustainer. But somewhere or other, down in ourselves, we begin to doubt whether or not we can believe like we should. Many times we don't doubt God. We doubt whether or not we can believe. That's when we have to turn it all over to him. There was a man in Mark chapter 9, verse 24. You don't have to read if you don't want to. Jesus had just come down from Mount Transfiguration with his disciples. And the man had brought his son, who had a demon that was sore vexed. And the demon cast him into the fire, into the waters. And he said, I've asked for your disciples to cast him out, and he couldn't do it. And Jesus said, if you believe, all things are possible. And then what did the man say? You're in the wrong chapter.
That's what he said.
Yeah, he said, you're in the wrong chapter. Let me get you in the right chapter, and you'll be all right. Now, that's a good illustration right there. Sometimes we can't figure it out because we're in the wrong chapter.
Okay, I'm in the right chapter. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief.
Now notice something interesting I never noticed before. The man didn't say, help my faith. He didn't say, help my believing. He said, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Now that almost sounds like, help me have more unbelief. But what the man is saying is, raise the level of unbelief to belief. Who's going to do it? Help my unbelief. When you feel like you're doubting and you shouldn't, quit beating yourself for doubting and start saying, Lord, help my unbelief. The choice is yours. Believe or not believe? That's a question. Now, I'm going to tell you three things you got a choice about. Number one, and of course there's a whole lot more, but I told Laverne yesterday morning, I said, I got a problem. She said, I said, yeah, I've started getting ready for a sermon tomorrow. I got too much stuff. So I'm just going to cut it down to what I feel like I need to say and hopefully stay off the rabbit trails. But there's three things that I want to bring to your attention that you have a choice about. And starting the new year with the sales pitch for the new year and for the song. Did you notice even the songs talked about us reaching out? And, you know, this is a year of the favor of the Lord. Now, my voice is kind of dry, or my mouth's dry. My voice is a little. So if I squeak every once in a while, y'all just have to be used to it. It'll change, yeah. Give me a drink.
This is water. I say that for the internet when he said, give me a drink. Yeah. We're back.
Yes. See how much difference that water made? Now, here we go. Your first choice. The choice is yours to be part of the kingdom. Nobody is saved because they were forced to be. We choose it. We become part of the kingdom of God because we make a choice to enter the kingdom. We make a choice to be saved. We make a choice to be a child of God. We have made the entrance level choice. You need to choose to be a part of the kingdom. You know, there's a lot of people that are about half miserable because they want to be part of the kingdom, but they don't want to be part of the kingdom. You know what I'm saying? They want to be part of the kingdom, but they want to do stuff that's not kingdom stuff. And it puts them in a struggle. And they're always in conflict. And they're always feeling doubtful. And they're always feeling like I'm a failure. But what we need to do is decide, I'm going to be part of the kingdom. I'm going to live by kingdom principles. And I'm going to trust God's grace. And I'm not going to walk in guilt and condemnation. I choose to be part of the kingdom. That's the first choice. Second choice is this. The choice is yours to be an equipped saint. You know, the Bible tells us in Ephesians that the fivefold ministry is for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Did you know the work of the ministry is not easy unless you've been equipped? I'll tell you what. What do you get? You draft a soldier or you enlist a soldier and say, now go fight. What I fight with? Or whatever you can find. When the soldier's enlisted, then the soldier is equipped. He's given what he needs in his role as a soldier. When we become a saint, which is a part of the kingdom, which is a child of God, God has made it possible for us to become equipped for the task. But you see, watching movies on television won't equip you. Watching sitcoms won't equip you. Reading a lady's own journal won't equip you. Taking your neighbor's opinion about things won't equip you. You need the ministry, the fivefold ministry of the apostle and the prophet and the pastor and the teacher and the evangelist. All of them have different equippings. All of them have what they need. There are evangelists that are not prophetic. There are prophets that are not evangelistic. Just like in the military, there are demolitions experts. And there are ones that are not demolition experts. But even the non-demolition experts know how to throw a hand grenade. There are snipers and then there are foot soldiers. There are soldiers that do well to hit the enemy. There are soldiers that can kill him at 600 yards. They're not equipped the same, but they're equipped for what they're called to do. And you choose whether or not you're equipped. You choose it by the amount of time that you spend in the atmosphere under the fivefold ministry or the time that you spend meditating on the Word of God. I'll tell you what now, there was times this past year I went for weeks unable to read my Bible. Couldn't even focus enough to see the words. Couldn't put my mind together enough to follow one thought or another right to the next chapter or the next verse. Couldn't pick up that Bible and read from it myself. What I rely on, what what's already there. Bringing it back from memory. Knowing that it was in there. Quoting it. Thinking about it. Yeah, thinking about it when I couldn't even quote it. Knowing it was there. Had it been for the Word of God in me, there was one night last year I would have never been through it. I'd have never made it. And all that's happened in the last 6 months of this year and all that's going to happen would have been voided out. I survived that night by the Word of God that was already in me. But we've got to equip ourselves. See, nobody told me you'll need to have this because you won't be able to read your Bible for extended periods of time. I just put it in because it's the equipping that you do. So the choice is yours to be part of the kingdom. The choice is yours to be an equipped saint. The choice is yours, number three. The choice is yours to believe or to doubt. If you doubt, you doubt because you choose to. It's not an automatic thing that just says, oh, I'm doubting, I can't help it. Well, I'd say, well, I'm believing and I just can't help it. If you can't help something, use it on the believing part. I just believe because I can't help myself. I'm not worried because I just can't help myself. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me because I just can't help myself. I can love my enemies because I can't help myself. Well, I just can't block them and I can't help it. Why is it we can't help them when it's always negative stuff? I contend that we can't help it. I can make a choice to stop worrying. I can make a choice to stop doubting. Now, I didn't say I could choose not to be tempted. Jesus was tempted. He didn't choose it. The Bible, can you imagine that? The Bible tells us this. It tells us this in so many words, directly saying, in all aspects as we are, he was tempted but did not sin. Now who are you going to rely on? You or him? When you can't, let him. When your unbelief rises up, ask him to help you. What did Peter do when he was walking on the water? Started to sink. That was his unbelief coming up. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And Jesus didn't say to him, well, you got yourself into it. Get yourself out. He reached out and got him by the hand and put him in the boat. When you feel like you're going to sink, don't keep trying to ratchet up yourself. Call on him. He knew more than you ever could. That's why he's given us the Holy Spirit. If you could live this life on your own, you wouldn't need the Holy Spirit. All you need was some grit and determination. But you don't have enough grit and determination. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. Now, do you remember the scripture? We're not going there. But the scripture where God said to his people, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now it's sitting out there before you. And he said, now let me give you a little help. In case you're wondering, let me tell you which one to choose. Now, right? Here's life and death. Here's blessing and cursing. What am I doing? Bouncing back and forth, deciding which way to go? That's dumb. Do I want to be blessed or do I want to be cursed? What a choice. I think I'll spend this week under the curse. You're not going to do that. You know. Somebody laid down a $10 bill or a 2-ounce rock and said, pick one. Was you going to pick the 2-ounce rock or the $10 bill? No, it's a rock. I didn't say gold. You make the choice because you say, hey, there's a whole lot more benefit in having that $10 bill than there is in having that rock. Well, I contend this morning, it's a whole lot better idea to have life instead of death. And it's a much better idea to have blessing instead of cursing. So I tell you this morning, choose life and blessing. It's said before us. You got a whole year now to deal with. 52 good weeks coming up. 52 good weeks. Now, I don't know how close I am to being done, but I think I'm close. But I wanna say something about our theme and about our motto for this year. We had a presentation that was given to us and said, consider this for the next year. And after we looked at it, we decided, I don't think we could do any better. And so, as I put in the bulletin, our theme for this year is rediscovering the power of faith. And when you rediscover something, that means it's new to you again. Rediscovering the power of faith. I think sometimes we get so used to some subjects that they just become mundane to us. And we think we don't have to be reminded. But you know, rediscovering the power of faith. And yesterday morning, because I like this thing about trying to get something that rhymes. And I was having trouble finding something to rhyme with 13. Something that made sense anyway. And so while I was sitting yesterday morning going through this, looking through some of the things in that were submitted on the rediscovering the power of faith, all of a sudden it ran through my mind. Wow. I said, that does rhyme, don't it? Thank you, Lord. And so our motto for this year is seeing the unseen in 2013. And this is the scripture that it comes from.
2 Corinthians 4:17-18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
That's where we need to hitch our wagon on the unseen. The promises of God that you haven't seen come to pass in your life, you need to keep looking at them. Don't look at what's happening. Don't look at what's happening. You know, there were times this past year that it looked like things were bad. It looked like some of the things that I had believed were starting to shake. But now that I look at myself, Laverne told me this morning at home, how as you said it, about the way I looked. That there's talking about a sparkle in my eye.
Yeah. Sparkle.
Something you hadn't, you said you hadn't seen for months. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tell you what. It's amazing. It's amazing what God can do. When I get this little voice thing corrected, which I go in Friday to find out when and what they're going to do, but hopefully it won't be too much longer, and I get my strength back, which has been a major undertaking. I've really struggled with appetite. You know, just seems like just. It's hard to find anything that really tastes good enough to keep eating it very long. Take two or three bites and say, nah, I don't want no more of that. And then think something's good and it's not going, you know, and it doesn't taste good once you get started. Laverne asked me yesterday afternoon, she said, what do you want to do for supper? I said, you really want to know? She named some things. I said, I don't want none of that. I'll tell you what I want. And you know what I had for supper? I had three tacos from Taco Bell. And a McChicken sandwich from McDonald's. And it was all good. So just remember, this year, you're looking at the unseen. You're looking at the things that are not seen. Because they will not change. There's a whole lot of difference in how I feel right now than how I felt last June or any other time most of during the year. There's a lot of difference. It changed. But there's no difference in the Word of God. It was the same last June as it is this January. Promises of God work just like they're supposed to. I want to share this just as a testimony, looking at the things which are seen and the things which are unseen. This year, this past year, in the midst of all that's happened, in the midst of all that's happened, has been one of the best years, relatively, comparatively speaking, for New Life for the Nations. We have got money at the end of the year. And God is faithful. I want to share this. We're going to get it enlarged and put on a poster so that we'll all remember it. Rediscovering the power of faith. Is it all right if I tell who submitted this? Yeah. Nod your head if it is. The person that submitted it, if it's all right to tell who. Okay. This was submitted by Brenda Onion.
Amen.
Barnes' cousin. Rediscovering the power of faith. As children of God, created in His image, we have been given gifts of power that are manifest by our faith and commitment to God. This is yours and our church's, and to encourage us to be faith-filled witnesses who inspire others. The faith we believe, our focus on the Word. That's the faith we believe, what the Word of God says. The faith we live is our focus on daily faith and action. You know what? James said, faith without works is dead. Faith without showing something in your life isn't accomplishing much. You may be a citizen of the kingdom, but you're not equipped to be a saint. What's going to happen? You're going to struggle. Anytime we do not challenge ourselves with the Word of God and with the promises of God, we end up struggling. The faith we profess, our focus on the resurrection. Did you know that is the theme of Christianity? That is the thing that makes Christianity different. Other than that, we're just another religion. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ is what makes Christianity alive and powerful. Without it, we're just another religion. The faith we profess, the faith we savor, our focus on rest and reflection. In the midst of our struggle, in the midst of our warfare, in the midst of dealing with circumstances and situations, there is a peace available for us to rest in if we release our faith on it. I'm in warfare, but I'm at peace. I've got circumstances and situations, but I'm at peace. I'm resting in the Savior. The faith we share. Our focus on outreach to others. We got to do that. It's our call. We read it to start with. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. World is our neighborhood. The world is where we work. Where we live. Where we buy our groceries. Where we get our hair fixed. Or cut. All those. Our world is Walmart. I'll tell you what, if you haven't realized it yet, Walmart is a very good witnessing tool. Just go out there, you'll see somebody. If you don't know where else to go witness, go to Walmart. It's like we do for everything else. And all of this is resting on this scripture from 1 John 5:4. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. That's a promise. If you've been born of God, you'll overcome the world. Why won't you overcome it? Because you chose not to. Nobody can put you down if you choose not to let them. Nobody can call your defeat if you choose not to let them. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Our faith in what? Our faith in God. Our faith in His Word. Your faith in yourself. In the right perspective. You know what? You've got to have faith in yourself. You've got to have faith that God has put faith in you. You've got to have faith that God is on your side. You've got to have faith that even when you do it wrong, God's still with you. Even when you make a mistake, God's still there. Even when you fall off the porch, you can get back up. And when you stepped in front of the fiery dart, you can survive it. Because you got faith where your faith needs to be. And that's in God and in His Word and in His Word in you. So I'm challenging you. The choice is yours this year. Believe or doubt. Achieve or fail. Live or die. win or lose, you choose. Let's stand. And you know what? The choice you make is not only going to affect you, it's going to affect somebody around you. The choices we make in here will affect one another. The choices that we make out there will affect the people around us. I've said before you, life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Why do you choose life? That you may live. Choosing the kingdom of God over the kingdom of this world. It'll put you in the driver's seat. Even when you may look like you're ready for a crash, God will never leave you nor forsake you. You can make it. You will make it. Say this with me. I choose to make it. This year. I will look at the unseen. Not the seen. In 2013. Let's bow our heads. Amen. Brother Tim, would you come dismiss? I'm going to do that. Give me time to get to the door.
While he's walking back, how about another hand of applause for not only our pastor, but more so our Lord. Yes. All I can do is sit here and think, wow, we're in for something. God is going to do something. So let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you. We thank you, Lord, for bringing our pastors, both of them, their families, through 2012. Father, bringing all of us through what we've gone through. But Father, we know that the work is out there for us to do. Give us the strength and the courage to accept every calling to do your will, Lord. We praise you and we thank you for that opportunity. Father, just as it's written, help us with our unbelief. Give us the strength and the courage to do your will and to do it according to your ways. We praise you. We thank you. Watch over us, protect us, and keep us safe until we can return again at the appointed time. All God's children say, amen. God bless you all.